We're going to go on to education next, I think. So, Mike, Hillary, I'm not sure who's...
Mike, are you starting?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet with you. We've recently decided to undertake an investor education project. Some of this came from the SEC staff report, where the staff reported that they would be looking at investor education and investor input into standard setting, irrespective of what happened in the US about the adoption of IFRS. And we'd heard from a number of other people that it would be good for us to undertake some kind of investor education project. So we met with our trustees and our board committees, and we put together a plan, which I believe you have in the papers that you have before you. But we don't have a lot of experience in this field. We've done education projects for other people along the financial reporting chain, but not for investors. So we thought, having so many investors in the building today, it would be a great opportunity for us to meet with you and see if we could get some input from you as to how we could be effective in doing investor education. So if you look at the appendix that you have, if you look at page 7 of 7, the last page that you have, that basically sets out what our initial thoughts were based on similar projects that we had done for other players along the information line. And some of the things that we've thought of, well, it would be imperative for us to work with other people. So many of you in the room represent or are members of the different investor groups in the world, and we think to be effective at all in this space, it would be important that we all work together in trying to achieve increased levels of investor education on IFRS. So that's an important tenet in what we're trying to do. It's important that we cooperate with other people, that we work with you in achieving what we can in this space. Possibly the thing that seems to be getting the most traction when we speak to groups like you around the world that we've been talking to is item 8, looking at CPE or CPD, depending what part of the world that you come from. Workshops on new IFRSs that are issued. There seems to be feedback we've received from other groups that this is something that might get some traction in the world, and doing that with the various institutes that there are, and getting the various institutes to accredit those workshops when they are done so that the members can get CPD or CPE credit for those. That seems to be something that has some traction. Producing some sort of high-level summaries that are investor-focused. We appreciate that writing things for investors need to be done in a completely different way from the material that we have written for other people, that you guys see things through the other end of the system. You look at the financial statements once they're produced, where everybody else we've dealt with looks at making them or auditing them or perhaps regulating them. So we appreciate that we need a different lens when we have a look at this. And to help us do that, the last item, the item 9, we've now had approved that we can create a new post for an investor fellow. And we're hoping that we can attract some people from some of the institutions that we have around the table to spend some time with us, maybe 3 months, 6 months in a year, to help us give effect to our investor education project. But I've probably said enough. What I'd like to do more is to hear from you if there's any ideas that you might have to help us give effect to this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think all in all, this is a very good idea. And I think I'm telling you that from my standpoint and from my association, I think it's taking at least on theory the right approach to talk directly to the different users. But you know, in FS, we have investors and analysts as well. And I think the best way to educate them is not only talking to us, you can get opinions, but it's talking in small groups to the people in different constituencies. And I think that's the idea that is underlying all this paper here. And discuss with them about some of the issues. I mean, I don't think, and what it's a process of just educating them, going through a theory, but just discussing what they are doing, and you are going to see really their concerns, no concerns, how far you can go with them. thing, the other thing we have been doing here, and is the empirical work, that's what I think is very, very helpful. I think taking specific companies or sectors and looking what they are doing with IFRS, I think for users, that's really what we're doing all the time. So that's will be my my comment, and obviously, I don't know, Jack.
I believe also one of the thing you should do is try to understand how people that have actually moved to IFRS, currently European, a few years ago, and try to understand what was their positive point, their source of frustration moving to IFRS, and perhaps also identify the thing they don't understand, because I believe there are some things they do not understand. For instance, they believe something that haven't changed because it's the same name, but it's not the same concept. And try to do a checklist of these key points, frustration, positive, and what could be improved, and what they don't understand. And that could be a good basis for something that would be really helpful for investors in understanding IFRS.
I'm a little alarmed at the beginning of this paper. It said the educational initiative is going to be self-funding. And that means that you want to charge for some of this. And that brings us to sort of a competitive advantages, competitive disadvantages. Once you go into the education market, you've got a huge number of competitors of different types. And you've got competitors that are giving away the education. So, for instance, the audit firms will give all sorts of accounting material just to get you in the door.
Right.
Investment banks will give all sorts of information just so they can talk to you to sell their stuff. So there's big money, and you're not selling a secondary product. You really need to think about this from if you're gonna be self-funding. And I think that was a poison pill that the trustees handed you, frankly. You really need to run this as a business, and you've got to look at the standard MBA stuff, competitive, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, the competitive threats. To provide some help or some suggestions, you may not want to actually develop any material if what your real objective is to facilitate. The whole accounting standards process is actually a not-for-profit, and you're just trying to cover some of your costs. If you want education, maybe the thing you should be doing is not trying to develop the material as much as coordinate and leverage off what other people are doing. CEP credits are wonderful. I've tried to use them. I've managed to get CEP credits for CRUF Canada meetings. I've managed to get CEP credits for the Canadian user group, and it has not helped attendance at all. So, I can dig up the contact person for the CFA Institute. It's relatively easy. It'll be relatively easy for you to get them, but I don't think you could, you may have a hard time getting people to training sessions if you give them away. I'm having a hard time getting people to CRUF meetings, and I give them CEP credits and lunch. I still have a hard time.
Canadian food?
If you want to come to a CRUF Canada meeting, I'll give you lunch.
Okay.
And if you're in Montreal or Toronto, please do. Okay. So I think that you need to narrow your you need to really run this as a business. You need to narrow your focus. You need to figure out where the low hanging fruit is, and there are lots of organizations that have similar interests. One of the ones the securities commissions actually in some jurisdictions want education because they want more sophisticated investors. The CFA Institute certainly is doing lots of material. The audit profession there. I think do an inventory who's out there. It would be the first thing. And good luck.
Thank you. Could I just respond to one point? I don't want people to be misled by the self-funding issue. The education initiative that we have is self-funding, so we generate revenue from a number of the projects that we do. A lot of the things that we make available are made available for free. So it's not that every item we look at, we say we have to generate from this particular activity revenue to fund it. Just overall, our education initiative is self-funding, and it is today and has been for a number of years.
But you're planning on expanding it, so you're going to need more funds.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I agree with everything that Robert said, but it's not the reason not to do that, and I'll tell you why. First, I think you're building a brand. And in doing what you do in education, it's going to do a lot to facilitate your brand in the early years, get the buy-in, solicit feedback, and reach some areas that you otherwise don't reach and allow get buy-in. And indirectly, it will help you funding, buy-in, and getting your outreach. So there's an element that, you know, whether self-funding or not, or somewhat defraying your cost, I think it's going to allow you to reach to. And then the question is, given what others are doing, and others are doing some things, where is your marginal effect? So your marginal effect is you're representing it directly from the horse's mouth, right? So this is one thing that you're going to say, okay, this is one benefit that you have. The other thing is, my experience with those of the auditors, they tend to speak in accountanese.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to speak to investors, you need to convert it to something that investors can associate with. You go to the largest shops, you can teach in-house and do some things. That's going to be another area where you can repurpose yourself and some other thing. Yes, you may have some competition with the CFA Institute. You may want to join hands and just do it somewhat together because they're another largest institution, some of the cons. But I think you can build sufficient scale if you do it and ultimately do it right. And maybe, you know, 5-10 years from now, even make some money out of it by blowing the other competitors out of the water if you do it right and developing your own life. So don't deter yourself, because I think ultimately it could be very, very successful. And again, do the business school case, but I do think that there could be some potential there if you execute it right. And the one that I would emphasize is, I do think you need to get material, because sometimes you need to think about what is important to the audience. And some of them are industry specific, some of them are regional specific, and you can go to one region where they're going to be interested in only extractive industries, and they could care less about high tech or other things. You can fly to San Francisco, and they could be very, very interesting in high tech, and they could care less about extractive industries. So you got to look at the type of investors and put it in the language that they understand, and, you know, mix and match in order to make it audience relevant. So just equipping you with some general thoughts.
I think along those lines, I think, you know, most of the industry investors and analysts, they are by sectors. I think to identify the right segment, that's really very key, and I think I will be mentioning that. And you will get a feedback on some of the IFRS really you want. And then you can put a whole picture together. That would be you. Yeah. But you're going to get a different angles from different analysts.
I just had a thought that, you know, if you're running this like a business, you know, what is your business and what is your business model? And maybe what you are is a franchise, and maybe what you should be doing is charging to put a stamp on, you know, let the cottage industry and training and education do their thing, and maybe what you need to be doing is charging to put a stamp on it that it's an ISB approved course. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a good or bad idea, but it's a question of you need to run this like a business. Eric's right. Long term, this is promotion. This is good for the brand. It all those things, and maybe you can make some money out of the long term, and you should do it. But do the business case and do it out of the box.
I'd like to ask you a question. Maybe the answer will vary according to jurisdictions. But do you think that the sources of continuing education for the CFAs, the analysts, in terms of IFRS, are the sources good? Do you think it's the products that you currently use, or that your colleagues use, are of adequate quality? Do they meet the needs? Or nearly you said it's Cantonese, okay, so it's not very positive, I would say. But otherwise, is it good Cantonese, good quality Cantonese, or is it my experience, at least in the country we share with Jacques, is that I have some frustration about the quality of the continuing education provided to the analyst, in terms of quality of the educators or the materials, whatever. So I like
I see your point. I think it happens in many cases. I have seen that it goes through three or four bodies. I mean, it's not going directly from who are working on IFRS. So when it gets to the end user here, that the analyst, obviously the quality has been diluted, has diminished. And I'm not saying that it's good about the professor, that's a different story. I'm saying in terms of what is going on, for instance, that the discussions are can be different. So from here to, once you go to the end users, you go to two or three different stages, it can be quite different.
So
and that's really, I don't know if I'm answering to your question, but that's what I see that it is happening.
Don't forget that investors are not accountants.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They just eat.
That's my point.
That's the point. You know, you are able to talk their language.
But something in your plate. Basically, you need to understand whether or not it's dangerous, good for your stomach or not, and how it has been built. Nobody cares.
I mean, that's one point really that I would like to also underline. When you talk to CFA candidates. The accounting bits are typically, usually, apart from the ethics bits, are usually the ones that people struggle with the most, and they don't.
Apart from ethics. Apart from ethics.
That's what I.
It's a sad state of. He's right, by the way, but it's an inside. It's an inside joke. The two things we struggle with as a group are, and not us individually, are ethics and accounting.
So basically, Rob, I was saying that, by the way, it's true. So it's really the stuff that it's the hardest to digest, to use that metaphor again, and that's probably why. That's probably because it's wrapped in accounting language. So you need to be, and there I have a little bit of an issue when you talk about education. Because education implies that you know how, whereas the investors like to think that they know how to invest, using your stuff, basically.
But I think there are a couple of points here. One is I would be very, very wary of setting yourselves up as a training business. So I'm concerned about a concept of continuing to be self-funding. I don't think that should be a primary requirement. It's all very nice if you are at the moment, and I can see ways that you can, if you like, sort of legitimately make money by renting out the IFRS brand for a particular conference organizer to do something, and that's all fine and appropriate. And you know, you shouldn't have board members joining in with commercial ventures where the board IFRS organization gets paid nothing and some commercial company is getting paid a lot for having you appear there. That seems entirely appropriate. But I don't think that should be your primary sort of objective. I think it would be more useful for investors if you concentrated on the communication. And so if it's, I mean, to my mind, one of the most useful documents the ISB has produced in recent times is the sort of snapshot explanation of the new standard.
Yeah.
You know, five pages, lots of diagrams, very few words. It gets the concepts across really, really quickly. You can understand it. Now, the bit that it doesn't do, which we keep on asking for, is it does not give numerical examples, and it doesn't do before and after.
Yeah.
If you want to invest real resource in educational material, you'll take the Vodafone accounts and rework them under a new set of standards and say, this is what it might look like. Or, you know, another company that you've taken Vodafone and doubled the numbers, so you can't be accused of using Vodafone, but we all know it is. And it's a 1,000 example. But it's you know, numerical examples. That's really where you have the edge. So I would strongly discourage you from setting up a training organization, because there are plenty of those around the world. But what you would usefully do is produce material and a great website where if an investor or an analyst has a question, they go to the website, they can look at a document, it gives them an answer, or maybe they've got somebody they can call, or you know, they've got useful resource they can draw on. And then potentially they might say to you, hey, this is so useful. We've got 20 analysts who would really love to have a two-hour training session. Can you help? And at that stage, you can either say, well, there's a really great training organization who do exactly this based in Mumbai, and they'll come down the road to you. Here's the number. Or you can say, yeah, we can do that. But I wouldn't go out and set yourself up in competition with whoever it might be.
Just to clarify on that, too, we're not planning to compete with anyone. We're planning to work with people to better enhance
investor knowledge of IFRS. So, you know, there are lots of good things in what you're saying, examples, mm-hmm. and we're hearing that from a number of people, and that, but just for the understanding, we don't want to compete with people. We're not setting up a training business. You know, we're just looking for ways of how best to communicate and improve IFRS knowledge amongst investors. And I'm not too concerned about the money bits. It's not a lot of money that we need to do this, I don't think. So perhaps we're putting too much emphasis on the money bit. If we look more at the investor information bit, I'd be grateful.
I'd like to make a comment. I think one of the things you really need to get right is that understand that the analyst community is very diverse in its experience. And if you start small, you better start high in this and make it like start with an experienced course for experienced analysts and get that feedback and also use it indeed as a feedback moment from the community. Because if you just only focus on providing information, you maybe forgo on hearing what the community gives back. So getting the tenure of your audience right, I think if you once go to such an event and you feel way overqualified for the information given, I mean, that wouldn't work. So if you start off, I would say start high, and then you build a brand as well.
I wanted to sort of go back to the earlier question about, you know, is there good training? And I think there is very, very little good IFRS training. It's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem. I'm not sure if there's no good training because there's no market, or I'm not sure whether there's no market because nobody's actually doing a good job of it. But having said that, I cannot emphasize enough the huge chasm between standard setting and what actually analysts do. And nobody seems to be right now able to really translate the sort of the standard setting into actionable analyst-based material. It is extremely difficult to do. This group is unique because we actually have invested a whole lot of time. We are not a standard. We know a lot more about standard setting than anybody else we're going to meet on sort of the day-to-day business.
We are Martians.
We are. That is a.
Be honest about the.
We are Martians.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of good ideas.
Maybe not in your company.
Your third meeting now with investors in 3 days or so. So the
messages are
plenty of feedback. So hopefully we can get something off the ground and do some good with that.
Thank you.
We're going to finish the public session now, I'm going to try and turn off the webcast. Before we do that, I just wanted to say about three people who officially get to the end of their terms. We're going to talk about membership shortly, and we may well ask some of them to stay on because we, of course, have a provision for people to extend the terms. But Chris, Jack, and Javier's just walked out. Other three are coming to the end. So I just wanted to officially say our great thanks for everything that you've done for us. Whether you stay on this committee or not, I'm sure we will see you many times in the future in working groups and other forums. But I think all three of you have been on right from the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So long, long service to this group. Which, So an official vote of thanks for everything that you've done, and I'm sure we'll be meeting you many times soon. But we are going to go on to talk about membership and that in the third session. So can we turn off?
It's off. Well, the mics are off.
Okay.
How do we turn off the two?
I don't know how we do that.
push your button. I guess we could. Can I just do that?
Push your button.